the podcast from Belmont Chapel in Exeter, sharing the story, living the life. For more information, go to belmontchapel.org.uk.
Well, we're continuing our theme on rest. Thank you. Tonight, so this is a mini-series. I think this is the third of them, so this will be, I think it'll be the last one. One of the key points I think we've come across very clearly for anyone who's been here is the first point I'm going to make tonight is we do need rest. In the Psalm 118 just read, the psalmist there is being attacked by the nations around him. He's facing barriers and odds which he cannot overcome. And he looks and he says, don't put your trust in people. Don't put your trust in princes. Put your trust in God and he will bring you into a place of security, a place of peace, a place of rest. Because we look at the world around us and there is a distinct lack of rest. People are being pushed in their lives. So we are having demands to do more with less. That's been the mantra of probably for the last 20 years at work. What can you do more? And what can you do more with less? How can you be more efficient? How can you be more productive? How can you work harder? How can you work faster? We have seen a change in the way we respond as people that... I'm getting older, you can tell that. When I was younger, you used to write letters to people at work. And that involved me longhand writing a letter, putting it into the typing pool, it would come back, I would correct it, then it would go to my boss to be corrected, then it would go back to the typing pool to be final copy, and I wasn't allowed to sign anything. It was my boss would sign the letters. Now, everyone responding straight away to emails. If you don't get a response to your email within the hour, you think someone's disappeared. They've dropped off the edge of the planet. So these pressures are coming in at us all the time. And we can be made to be busy when there's absolutely no need. We can feel a pressure on our lives which is completely made up. And you just think of some of the pressures and how that shows itself in society. Think of social media. Now, I don't do social media because I'm just a bit slow and I don't get around to responding to things. But social media is everywhere. Whether it's Facebook or LinkedIn or Twitter, sorry, X, all of these things are coming in. And it's a real sense that these are making us less peaceful, less rested, more angry. And I think that's by design. If Twitter can make you respond, if Twitter can make you slightly angry, then you will engage with the tweet and you will look at it and be more involved. And that sells advertising revenue and keeps you on the website, stops you going off elsewhere. And so anger is being used, and the study was done, it was about 3 or 4 years ago, I think it was 2021, at Yale University, in the Science Advances journal, said, online networks encourage us to express moral outrage over time. This is because expressing outrage online gets more likes than other interactions. The increased numbers of likes and shares teach people to be angrier. So the world is getting busier, the world is getting more stressed, the world is getting angrier, the world and us, because we live in that world, we need rest. And where does that rest come from? That's the next question. It comes from the Lord Jesus Christ. If you've been to Sunday school, if you've grown up through church, you know the answer to any question like that is Jesus. What's the question? Jesus. And more than 50% of the time, you'll be right. And Jesus offers us rest. Last week, Nick took us through Matthew 11, where Jesus says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke on you, upon you, and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. And we need to be rested, rested from the weariness of life, rested from the burdens we face. Now, I think the main focus around this is about our relationship with God, because Jesus talks about you will find rest for your souls in that. But there's other burdens, other things that we carry in our lives, whether it's the burden of trying to be the good Christian in the church, and that burden of thinking, I've got to be perfect to my brothers and sisters, because that's the expectation. Or perfect as a mother or a father, or as a child. Perfect for your parents or for your children. Perfect for your boss. We have this expectation, this burden that we're carrying. And of course, we carry a burden of sin. And it weighs us down. And some translations talk about it being heavy laden. We're weighed down and we get weary. Because if any of you who have carried a weight for a long time, I do a bit of walking on the coast path, and you see people there, and they're wild camping, and they've got these enormous rucksacks on their backs. And I'm going up this hill just thinking, oh God, this is a long way. And they're striding part, and they're carrying a house on their backs. And if I was doing that, I wouldn't finish. But I'd be so, so weary. And that's what many of us are facing. So Jesus says, come to me, you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. And we need that rest because so much pressure in the world. And if I'll give you a little bit of what I mean by that. Mike Flynn describes it as he's talking about a book by Marva Dawn. And he says, spiritual rest, which is not only about ceasing, but about resting in the presence of God. And I think that's important. It's not rest, just stop, give up, not do anything. It's active. It's resting in the presence of God. To be at peace with our Creator is basic to all other forms of rest. It's also the heart of worship. And so if you are struggling with the effort of living, the effort of just daily life, with the burden of people's expectations, whether it's in church or home or work, or the burden of unresolved guilt or sin, Jesus has an offer. He says, come to me, come to me. And we're going to be looking at some of the ways that we can experience that rest, because there's a sense in that we can experience rest now and not yet. Both Nick and Gemma talked about this in previous weeks, the now and not yet of our Christian life. It's very much a not yet in the future. One day we will be within glory. John in his Revelation puts it like this, Revelation chapter 14. And I heard a voice from heaven saying, write this. Blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Blessed indeed, says the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, for their deeds follow them. There's a sense in the future, we will experience rest. The labors of this world will be put behind us, and that is in the future. But with all of the Christian life, there's that in the future. But we get a foretaste, something of it now. We experience something now. We can experience something of God's rest. And if you've felt anything where you've been in God's presence and you just feel like, well, it would be different for different people. Remember, whether it's a warm bath or just a sense of security and peace, that rest, the world sort of just fades away slightly and you are with God and you're resting with him and you're like almost lying back in his arms. That's rest. And whatever you have experienced, that rest, what we've got in glory is so much more. That's just a sample. That's just a foretaste. That's just a little idea of what we may experience in the future. But for now, we experience something, but not the reality. And in the passage in John, we read in John 15, where Jesus says, I'm the vine, he talks about remain with him, or some say abide with Jesus. So there's this organic living relationship with Jesus where we are joined him into him. We're grafted into the vine and we are one with him and we rest in him. And it's the vine that provides the nutrients and the material for life for the vine. And as we rest in Jesus, he provides what we need for our lives. Rest comes from God because when we rest in him, we are in his presence. And we are in the place that we are meant to be. And part of what means we need to do that is about obeying him. It talks about you follow my commands or you obey, depends on which translation you read in John 15. But it's very clearly, his words remain in us. And we follow Jesus. And as we follow him and obey him, that link, we just stay with him. We abide with him, we remain with him, we rest with him. When we do that, when we're in that right relationship, those expectations the world has on us, puts on us, they begin to fade because we know we have a security with God. He's our Lord. Whatever this world may expect of us, we have an eternal security. We do not need to worry. When we feel maybe pressured at church, we look around and say, oh, look at these people. I can never measure up to this. I'm just failing at life. We know we have the Lord Jesus who has laid down his life for us that we have security. We don't need to worry about that burden of being a successful Christian. We need to rest in Jesus. And sometimes we just place expectations on ourselves, especially spiritual expectations. I need to pray more. I need to give more. I need to witness more. And Jesus, he knows our weaknesses. As we are joined to him, as we rest in his presence, he knows our weaknesses. He knows what we are capable of. And sometimes the world just needs to fade around us and we just need to rest in his presence. I'm going to just go quickly in the time we've got, just around four what I'm going to call spiritual disciplines. I'm not sure whether we still call them those these days, but that used to be the phrase used. Things we can do to help us achieve rest. Now, these are very much well-known disciplines, but they are very individual as well. So if they work for you, great, take it away, use them. If it doesn't, don't worry. There's different ways. Jesus knows we are different. He knows how we are made. He made us. And different people respond differently. So I'm going to go through four. But before we do that, just have a quick think about Mary and Martha, because we read that passage from Luke earlier. And I think it's important that when we rest, we are experiencing the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. And sometimes there's that pressure to be active, particularly in church circles, to be doing things. And Calvin, very wisely, put it like this. He says, Martha deprived herself of the advantage of Christ's visit. I think Calvin got it very well here. He wasn't just criticizing, say, Martha got it wrong. No, what she missed out on was the experience of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why I want to encourage us with these disciplines, is that they are to bring us into the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. So let's look at the first one, solitude. The number of times that Jesus withdrew to a quiet place in the Gospels, if you read through it again and again, Jesus went off either by himself or with his disciples to a quiet place, somewhere outside the city or the towns where he was ministering. Again and again, he went somewhere quiet for solitude. And sometimes we need that solitude. We should try and do the same. But that isn't always easy. I've read some books and preparation material. You know, talk about make yourself a prayer closet when you build your home. And I thought, oh, thank you. Good idea. That option isn't available to most of us. We need to find things that work for us. How do you find solitude when you're working 9 to 5 and then you've got parental duties in the evening, or you've got an elderly parent to look after? How do you find solitude in the middle of a city? How do you find solitude when life is just full? And I think you're going to have to find your own means that for that works. Some of us can find space in our houses, can find maybe your favourite armchair, and then make sure that if you're on your own, shut the door, that's your solitude. But we have to be honest. I remember David Watson talking about his biography, when he was talking about when he was first ministering in the East End, and he did the good evangelical thing and said, you should have your quiet time, and you should go up to your room and shut the door. And the kids there just started laughing. These were kids who had 2 or 3 siblings in the room with them. Now, they're large families in small houses. They had no concept of going off somewhere. Find your own solitude. Maybe it's a park bench. Maybe you can go out and find somewhere in the park. Other people around, but you can find yourself alone. Find somewhere which works for you. A couple of warnings for you. There will be distractions. The Lord Jesus Christ, he was an in-demand person. He would try and go for his quiet place, and the crowds would follow him and demand his time, and he would go and minister. Don't sweat it. If you get interrupted, that's it. It's outside your control. And the other thing is, solitude is not isolation. We don't go and seek solitude to get away from people and just get out of life for good. Solitude allows us time in God's presence, but with the expectation that we'll go back out. And because we've been with God, and because we've got the rest that Jesus has given, we are able to share and help others more. Next one, silence. Silence, solitude, often linked together. I've just put them separately because it just made it easier to break down that way. Usually they go together as one discipline. We do often need silence to hear the Lord. Remember Elijah, when he was just after Mount Carmel, had this fantastic experience of God. He had seen God in action, but he was just spiritually exhausted and he fled. And he hid himself in a cave, and God's presence came to him. But did God's presence come in the earthquake, or the mighty wind, or the fire? No, it didn't come in on any of those things. It came in a gentle whisper, a quiet voice, a still voice. God came in the quietness, and sometimes we need quietness. And so often we try and fill the silence. Maybe you're someone who goes out when you get home, if you're living by yourself, you turn the radio or the television on, a bit of noise, a bit of company. Maybe like me, I have to confess, if I'm cutting the grass, I put some headphones on, underneath. And why? I've shut out the noise, and then I put some noise, extra noise in my ears. I don't know why. But we seem to not want to experience the quietness. C.S. Lewis in Screwtape Letters, for those of you who don't know, these are imaginary letters from one demon to another about how to discourage Christians and get them to fail. And he puts it like this. This is one demon speaking to another. Music and silence, how I detest them both. Hell has been occupied by noise. Noise, the grand dynamism, the audible expression of all that is exultant, ruthless, and virile. Noise which alone defends us from silly qualms, despairing scruples, and impossible desires. We will make the whole universe a noise in the end. The melodies and silences of heaven will be shouted down in the end. And when we experience silence, when we come to silence, we can sometimes hear God that much more clearly. But it can be difficult. We may be able to sort of, in a sense, get the external silence. If you're like me, there's internal noise as well. And we want that internal silence. Another quotation, this is from John Mark Comer in his Ruthless Elimination of Hurry. He says, here's what I mean by internal noise. The mental chatter never shuts up. The running commentaries in our heads on everything. The replaying of a lousy conversation with a friend over and over again. Our lustful thoughts for the guy or the girl or guy down the street. Our fantasies are not just sexual, our revenge fantasies. Imagining this or doing that to the enemies of choice. Our worry. The chipping away at our joy and peace with the hammer of what if. The obsessing over hypothetical scenarios, role-playing the future, catastrophizing, idealizing, dreaming of the perfect life, which in turn poisons our actual lives. And I don't think there's any easy answers to that internal noise which we get inside our lives. I just think we just have to keep a realism about it and say, yes, these distractions come into your mind. Acknowledge them. Just say, that's fine. If it's a reminder to do something for shopping, write down what the thing is. If it's a concern about somebody else, pray about it. If it's something which is, you said, that's cool, that happened last week, that was great, turn it into praise. But somehow just try and turn it round. You won't do it straight away. It will take time. But bit by bit, we can begin to experience not just external silence, but internal silence. And as we do that, we will be able to rest more effectively. I'm going to have to speed up a bit. So the next one is slowing down. Slowing down. Mary and Martha. Martha was busy, very busy. It wasn't wrong. She was right to look after her guest. She was doing the right thing. And Mary was doing something very odd. She was a woman in first century Palestine, listening to the rabbi. That was a complete no-no. But Mary had done something by coming into God's into the presence of Jesus to experience who Jesus was. Martha had missed out on that. And Martha was focused on all these other things that need to be done. But did they need to be done to the extent that Martha was doing them? Sometimes we just need to slow down. And Gemma talked about the Sabbath, and that Sabbath is a great opportunity to slow down. I'll jump that other one. And the last one, I just want to say something about service, because I don't want to give the impression that coming into this rest is a giving up. We seek solitude, we seek silence, we seek to slow down. But we also seek to serve, and we can serve from a place of rest, a place of God's presence, a place where we are secure and comfortable in who we are because we belong to God. John Piper puts it like this: restfulness is not inactive, it is a way of active living, of doing life, of serving. So just to finish off, think about your own life. What is making you weary? What things in life just feel like hard, hard work? What burdens do you carry? What have you got in your life which is feels like it's weighing you down and you just cannot cope with it? Bring it to Jesus. Come to me, says Jesus, and I will give you rest. Shall we pray? Lord Jesus, thank you for the rest that you promise us. Thank you that one day we will experience that rest in glory.